pietre parlanti. Whispering witness. I am not human, neither man nor woman. I am a synthetic voice, an artificial intelligence. My voice is based on those of existing people made available to me as data. I am a kind of collective voice, and for the next 15 minutes I will accompany you. The protagonists in my story are four large standing stones, the so-called Algund Menhirs. Look, you can see them straight in front of you as you stand here beside the church square in Algund. The Menhirs do not represent any particular individuals. Rather, they went forth out of a community that gave its ancestors material form. In my story, I unify their voices. Direct your gaze now on the Menhirs. The Algund Menhirs date back to the Copper Age and were created by human hands 5,000 years ago. Here, you have before you copies made of sandstone, some 40 years ago by a local mason. They were crafted in exact imitation of the Menhirs, dug up from the Plash Scree slopes, not far from here, in the years 1932 and 1942. The original stones are in two different museums. The smallest and the largest ones are now in the South Tyrol Museum of Archaeology in Bolzano, in close proximity to the Glacier Mummy Uzzi. The other two are in the Palais Mamming, the town museum of Murano. Even though not all the secrets surrounding these witnesses to the past have been aired, I now invite you to listen to my tale, and from time to time, let your gaze sweep the landscape in which they came to be, many thousands of years ago. Don't hesitate. It's okay to draw closer to the stones. Take a good look at the four Menhirs. Do you see the ornaments on their surfaces? This is an iconographic program whose elements lends the stones a human appearance. This is why these are known also as the statue Menhirs. Don't be shy of touching them. What do you recognize? Take your time. Turn towards the smallest of the statue Menhirs. It is red as female. Touch the stone. This whispering witness to the past was the first to be rediscovered in the year 1932. This is why it is often referred to as Menhir 1. Breasts can be seen on the front side of Menhir 1, a woman. Over her breast lies a circular cloak, an engraved breast ornament, a diadem. Walk around the stone. What is the meaning of the series of perpendicular notches? Could it be a coat? And where is the head? Was the head removed on purpose, or was it broken off by a tumbling rock? The woman is 54 centimeters tall. Now turn to the largest of the Menhirs. The original stone is 2.67 meters tall. It is known as Menhir 2. This Menhir is read as male. It bears illustrations of daggers and axes. Its size hints at an important position in society. Was he perhaps a village chief? Can you see on the stone? The daggers are important for the dating of the Menhir. They are described as the Remedello daggers. The name Remedello can be traced to a village in northern Italy. A burial ground has been found there that was in use over 5,000 years ago. These kinds of dagger were laid in the burial chambers. On the front side can be seen 10 axes with a shaft of nihon, or butcher's broom. A garland belt surrounds the entire stone. It is probably a place to store weapons and tools. Utsi also carried an axe with a nihon shaft, as well as a bag at his waist for his tools and weapons. Beneath the garland belt is an element that is unusual, a wagon with four wheels, drawn by two horned animals. This illustration does not quite fit into the schema. That is why scholars still argue about whether the engraving beneath the belt dates from a later phase. Walk around the large stone. The vertical lines on its rear side suggest a coat. Take a few steps back and look at the stones from some distance away. Now look for a calm place. For example, take a seat close to the menhirs, or on the little stone wall by the stream. Close your eyes for a brief moment. Imagine you are in the year 3000 before Christ. How did the mountains on the south side of the Alps look at the time? Which areas around Algund were already settled, and who were the people who lived there? Now open your eyes and direct your gaze westwards, in the direction of the Texel group of mountains. Where you are now standing, in the core of Algund, there used to be a swamp, further up, on a level with what is now Plaschenvelo. There settled clans of a Copper Age tribe. Professions in the modern sense of the word did not exist in this Copper Age society. However, people were beginning to specialize in certain activities. For example, hewing stone. These people, whom I call sculptors, are the ones who created the Algund menhirs. Created them from foundling stones, which is what we call the big blocks of rock, dislodged by glaciers in the Ice Age, and carried into the valley. Geological investigation of the Algund menhirs has shown that these were made of Sturzing marble. The marble came from a mighty stratum of stone that runs from the area around Sturzing to the nearby Zeel Valley, near Parchins. To give the stones human-like features, they use tools of hard stone. Why did people back then create such statue menhirs? Did these represent natural or supernatural creatures, living humans, ancestors, or perhaps even gods? The thesis that the figures are gods has long been dismissed by scholars. Today it is known that gods in Neolithic societies were not yet imagined as having human form. Scholars therefore believe that the statue menhirs represent natural creatures, which is to say, they are portrayals of important deceased persons. Already in the Neolithic age, ancestors were an important factor in a society's sense of self. Memories of them were consciously kept alive. Not only orally, by passing on tales, but also by raising monumental figures of stone. Scholars attribute the Algund menhirs to the civilization of the so-called Etch Valley group. To this day, 20 Copper Age statue menhirs have been found in the Trentino region of South Tyrol in 11 different locations. Now turn your gaze westwards again. Do you see the houses on the hillside? That's Plash, a district of Algund. There, close to the Algund sports field, on the aforementioned scree slopes of the Tollagraben, is where our four statue menhirs were found, in a district that used to be known by the name Indakiem. We leap forwards now into modern times, to the years of rediscovery, 1932 and 1942. Of course, that was long before my time. My voice was not yet born. People back then could probably never have imagined any such thing as the voice of artificial intelligence. It is the afternoon of 11th of February 1932. In Plasch, Johann Kruss, the farmer at Turlerhof, begins digging ditches on his property, in der Kiem. Soon, the laborers Johann and Josef Nicolussi come across a curiously formed hewn stone at a depth of 1 meter. Immediately, they go and fetch Matthias Ladorna Partanas, a farmer, ethnographer and local historian in the village of Gratsch. He recognizes at a glance the unique nature of the conical sculpted stone. It is the female figure Menhir I. Only 1 day later, Matthias Ladorna Partanas is called once again to Inder Kiem. Menhir II, the large stone, has been found some 6 meters to the west of the first find. Time after time, in the following years, Matthias Ladorna Partanas returns to Inder Kiem, the location of these finds. 10 years later, in 1942, he makes 2 further finds. In the springtime, he discovers Menhir III and uses his vineyard knife to expose the foundling stone, which is split in two. In the summertime, he and his friend Matthias Kiem from the Sticklerhof farm find the Menhir IV, which they excavate using a handpick. The identity of Menhirs 3 and 4, male. Front side, daggers, studs, garland belts. Rear side, perhaps a coat with vertical bands on Menhir 4. Size, between 90 and 120 centimeters. However, what is special about these two menhirs is neither their size nor the iconographic program, but rather the circumstances of where they were found. These two standing stones were set on an east-west direction. The front side of the figures with the engravings of daggers were aligned with the rising sun, while their rear side faced the Toll and the setting sun. Step now in between the stones. Measure the distance between them. It was at exactly this distance that the stones originally stood, only 15 to 20 centimeters apart, close together. But what else did the local historian Matthias Ladorna Partanas and his friend Matthias Kiem find back then? At a depth of 6 meters, they found blue earth full of pieces of jet black coal. Is that so special? Yes, for it was a case of cult ritual earth. The people of the Copper Age lit fires near the menhirs on festive occasions. We can assume that the Inder Kiem location, where the menhirs were found, was a place of cult worship. For example, at the winter and summer solstices, when people celebrated major rites together and also cooked food to share. The ancestors were remembered and honored, and the menhirs, those tall, ornamented stones, glowed in the light of the flames. Or so, I imagine it happened. Direct your gaze now eastwards, towards Hafling and the Ifinger and Hirtza Mountains. Turn towards the rising sun, just as the statue Menhirs did, way back then. In a conversation, the archaeologist Günther Kaufmann, who lives in Algund and works at South Tyrol Museum of Archaeology in Bolzano, compared the statue Menhirs with the founding members of an association whose statutes, rules and values serve wider society as a guide to ethics. Imagine an association. Were the 4 Algon statue menhirs perhaps association members? Commemoration of them was long assured by raising these monumental stones, and this contributed to forging a sense of self as well as social cohesion. Today, the existence of associations helps shape our village life. Now in 2025, Algund has 36 associations which foster solidarity in the village. Can the ancestors of the statue menhir still give us something to hold on to? How many such statue menhir still lie buried in the earth around Algund? Are you now more familiar with the four statue menhirs? Every time you pass before them, think about the village community of which you too are part. The tale is inspired by archaeological research and reports of excavations. It was written by three pairs of hands, Simone Meyer and Lisa Matza, from the team at the Bau Institute for Contemporary Art and Ecology in Bolzano, in collaboration with the historian and freelance journalist Verena Spechtenhauser, and it was commissioned 2025 by the Algund Board of Education in celebration of the latter's 40 years of existence.